I want to introduce our special guest speaker this morning. I say that smiling because she makes me smile every time I think of her. This woman has been with the Fitz Group now for 6 years. She's been on the Fitz team for about 9 years, and it's my lovely wife, Heather. She's been doing some research about how to get business issued, and maybe some people right now are seeing some cases getting declined, and you have some questions about that and curious as to why that's happening, and frankly, we all know if you're not getting it issued, you're not getting paid. So she has some tips that she wants to throw out today, and if you have questions, please send them to me, and I'll make sure to ask them of her. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to you, Heather.
Well, thank you. I will. Y'all don't get to hear from me very often, and I'll do my best not to bore you this morning. And I hope that nobody is rolling their eyes thinking this is going to be the same old information about getting business issued. Because to be honest, what sparked a lot of this is over the last few weeks, I have really sort of been disappointed with the issue rates and the amount of business that's getting issued at F&G and our entire organization. And I have been looking into that and doing some research because, honestly, we're all this way. The first reaction is to point fingers at F&G and say, well, they're not doing their job. They're being too strict on issuing clients, or they're just not, attentive enough to our needs. And in reality, whenever I do research, it's always a two-way street, but I most often find mistakes and things that we are not doing correctly that prevent them from issuing our business in a timely manner. And so I felt like really maybe we had done a disservice up to this point to you all to not be talking more regularly and more thoroughly about how to get business issued and just some new guidelines and new things that we have noticed at F&G. Because like Fitz mentioned at the beginning, you make a sale, but if you're not getting paid, you've just wasted time. And I really want you all getting paid. You should be seeing a 75% or better issue rate. And if you're not seeing that, you need to dissect what it is that you are doing, and you want to make some changes. So whether or not you've even written an app yet, today is going to be a valuable day, and I encourage you to pull out your notepad and pen and take some notes. I want to start this morning talking about the Accept Reject Guide. HomeCertain back in March went to an Accept Reject underwriting standards. What that basically means is HomeCertain is designed to be through Table D as standard, which means through Table D would normally be rated at about 200%. This product is designed that through Table D to go standard, beyond Table D is a decline. So you're either going to be accepted in that standard rate or you're going to be declined. There is no in-between with HomeCertain. But hang with me because there are some solutions to that. But before we move on to the solutions, I want to talk about this Accept Reject Guide. There is a guide that is available. We can email it to you. You can find it on SalesLink that will tell you a list of ailments that either are or are not accepted by the current underwriters. And I had felt like perhaps the underwriting had gotten a little tight. And so I had gone in and I was looking and I noticed all these cases that were getting declined and I was just really put out. I was like, wow, how could F&G decline this many cases? Well, when I went in to pull the applications and I pulled the HomeCertain Accept Reject Guide, the majority of the things I looked at were right there in front of my face. I saw a case with emphysema that we submitted, and emphysema is listed on the Accept Reject Guide as an outright decline, and it was an outright decline. So F&G just stuck to their word there. Also, there are things that you need to understand about the sub-reject guide is that it may say, well, somebody who is overweight is standard, or somebody who has an a non-insulin dependent diabetic is standard, or somebody who has high blood pressure under control is going to be standard. But when you combine all three of them, they no longer remain standard. So it's important to understand that of course, certain health risks can remain standard, but when somebody has a couple different health risks, that may change the underwriter's opinion on that case. And what I realized when I was looking at these things was not like, oh, these people are know agents are making mistakes. It's more that we had not educated the agents on this Home Certain Accept Reject guide. So I want to first challenge you, get your hands on that guide if you haven't seen it. Make sure you get it. Call our office today, drop us an email, drop me an email, anybody here. We'll get that Home Certain guide to you. It can be emailed, it can be faxed, but we want you to have that and hang on to that. Because when you come across clients that have health challenges, it is not, you know, you can see right there in front of you if they're going to be an outright decline. We're going to talk about here in just a minute other options that you have for that. Now, let's say it's a health challenge that's not listed on this Home Certain Accept Reject guide. Or let's say it's a mixture of health challenges that all say standard, but you think this is an awful lot. You know, they've been depressed. They've got high blood pressure. There's a couple things that they've had issues with. None of them major, but you want to check on that. Well, what you're going to do is you're going to pick up the phone. You're going to call underwriting. You're going to call the main line for F&G, which is 1-800-445-6758. And I believe if it's still the way it used to be, it's prompt 2 to reach underwriting.
Repeat that, please, Heather.
It's 800-445-6758, and underwriting as prompt 2. Just follow the prompt. You want to talk with underwriting. If you need to, leave them a message. They'll get back with you. But just let them know in that message that you're doing a pre-risk assessment. Here's the situation. Here's the conditions. And let them know when your appointment is, or let them know if you've already met with the client, that's fine, but that you need, you know, a response back, and they'll get back with you in a timely manner on that. And that will help you know what direction to go with your client, because it's really not of a value for anyone to push to submit applications to Home Certain that we are certain will be a decline before they even get to underwriting. So let's be more mindful of that as an organization. Let's use the tools that we have available to us to make sure that we're placing these cases in the appropriate place. Now, I keep alluding to what do you do when these people are, before you even submit it, you know they're going to get declined. Or let's just say that you've submitted a case that has been declined, and it was a case that you didn't really expect to be declined necessarily, or you knew was borderline, and you were just going to hope that maybe you would get accepted, and then it got declined. There is an option. There are several options, but there is one option I want you all to know about and I want you to consider is F&G will allow us to submit cases that have been declined with Home Certain on a Save or Select. What that means is that you actually have to rewrite the application and resubmit it to F&G as a Save or Select case. You can call the underwriters in advance and they can tell you, well, this case would be rated up 200% or 250%. You can rate that client up and go ahead and give them an accurate quote and an accurate monthly premium and resubmit that case. They will have to go through medical underwriting at that point, and they'll still have to go through final underwriting and get approved. But I have seen many cases that have been declined on Home Certain that have been accepted in a rated up or substandard way on Save or Select. So take a look at your new business today. Take a look at your cases that maybe have been recently declined. Consider some of the other options that you have for your clients. Perhaps one of those is rewriting them and submitting it on Save or Select. Was that pretty clear, Fitz, about Save or Select?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's really just as simple, and I just want to clarify it just in my mind. It's really just as simple as when somebody gets rejected. They say that again. When the client gets rejected, what can the agent do?
They can rewrite the application. It does require the application to be rewritten and submitted to Save or Select. I will tell you right now that I am lobbying to the NAA owners to talk with them about F&G maybe creating a bridge between Home Certain and Save or Select, where if they get declined, maybe there's an automatic offer on Save or Select that would then cause an amendment to the application. I'm not saying it's happening. I'm just saying I am lobbying for that. But in the meantime, right now, the guidelines state that we must resubmit a new application on that client for Save or Select.
And I just want to make sure everybody understands that an example that we saw here in our own office is Jason Bruno, the new agent mentor, had a case that he called, I guess he submitted it, and it was rejected. It was a heart condition, which we, you know, later found out heart conditions are going to be rejected on HomeCertain. That's one of those reject lists. But he called underwriting and found out from them, you know what, we will write this at 175% on Saver Select. So just because they've been rejected, just because they've been rejected by the HomeCertain case, please don't be discouraged. Please do your due diligence for your client's sake and for your own family's sake. Call up the underwriters and find out what the new rating would be on a fully underwritten case. And they will tell you, I mean, they want to get business issued too. That's good for them. So help them, as Jerry Maguire would say, help them help you get cases issued. As soon as one gets rejected, if it does, call up and find out what the rating would be on a fully underwritten case. Sorry, go ahead, Heather.
No, yes, great. And just remember, too, you know, when you're dealing with these clients who are getting declined or having, maybe you're having some difficulty finding the right fit right away for them because of the health challenges they've had, don't get so shy and scared of your clients. I mean, you have, you know, posture yourself as somebody helping them, as someone who cares about them, but also as recognizing that they are in a position that they need insurance. If they're having trouble getting accepted, that means that it's more important that they get coverage, and your goal is, as the agent, is you're doing everything possible to help them get the coverage that they need. So don't, you know, from a sales perspective, don't shy away from working with these clients because they need your assistance. I did want to mention, I'm just going to mention it briefly, but beyond Saver Select, if you're having trouble or the client says no, they would, if underwriting says they would be a decline on Saver Select as well, there is U.S. Financial and Presidential. The NAA website is a fabulous resource for both of those products. It has everything you need for running the rates, everything you need for writing the applications, everything you need for contracting, getting appointed with them. Of course, you can call here at the office or call your immediate manager if you're having questions or concerns with those products. But do check that website out. Check out Presidential. Check out U.S. Financial. U.S. Financial requires a pre-risk assessment to be submitted and received back before you can submit the application. So look at those things online for clients that may need further assistance on those products. Presidential, for those of you this is brand new to information to you, it is a guarantee issue product over the age of 40, correct? Yes, I think he's on mute.
I was on mute. Presidential is a guarantee issue product between the ages of 40 and 80.
Right.
Is that what you're talking about? Assuming they're not in a nursing home and assuming they can sign their own name.
So know about that product and that it's available to you in those rare situations where a client is unable to get underwritten on an F&G product. The other thing that I don't want to fail to mention, and I'm just going to briefly cover this as well, is that we do have access to Shenandoah Mortgage Protector product. That is a wonderful, fabulous product. It's through 24 months to remain under non-medically underwritten. With F&G, it's 13 months. With the Mortgage Protector, it's 24 months. It's not available in every state, so I know we've got some people on here that are on the West Coast. Unfortunately, those products are not available in California or Washington. That's why we don't talk about them a ton. But if you're in Texas, Arizona, out towards the East Coast, there is availability of those products, and we can get you information, and that is another possible route to go with your clients if need be. So those are some options. Please, please, please get your hands on the Accept Reject Guide. Follow it. Use it because it's just not fruitful to submit clients that are we know for sure will get declined the minute they get to F&G on HomeCertain. All right, a couple other tips that I wanted to mention. Another thing that I have noticed is that there have been that F&G orders telephone interviews. They're going to always order a telephone interview on the disability rider. I also noticed in that HomeCertain Accept Reject Guide, I was reading through it, and I noticed that it says that any client that has high blood pressure, non-insulin dependent diabetes, or depression, anxiety will automatically result in a telephone interview. So for those of you that are saying, well, gosh, they sure are pulling a lot of telephone interviews, well, I'm seeing right there plain in black and white in that guide, there are three very common things that we see on applications: high blood pressures, non-insulin dependent diabetic, and depression anxiety, that will automatically generate a telephone interview. So what I would do is, when you're in the home and you find out a client has one of these situations, I would let them know, well, what the underwriters are going to want to do is just talk with you real briefly. They're going to do a very basic phone interview with you, and they're going to ask you a lot of the same questions that I asked you, you know, just and you can help guide them in understanding and expecting that telephone interview. However, the one thing I'm noticing about those telephone interviews is that sometimes they're sitting in there for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, and the telephone interview is not getting completed because the client is not returning the call to the underwriter. And again, this can be resolved, I think, in two ways. One is setting appropriate expectations in the home, like I just said. When you see they have a condition that's going to require a telephone interview, or they're applying for disability, those type situations, please go ahead and pre-warn them, tell them the importance of getting back to the underwriter quickly, because they're not conditionally issued until that interview is completed. So there's a really great asset and value and reason to encourage your client to speedily complete that telephone interview. Now, the other tip I have is, and oftentimes I'll see the underwriters are kind enough to even write this in the notes on SalesLink of your policies. However, there is a phone number that the client can call into to complete their phone interview. That phone number is 877-844-5041. Again, what your client can do is call that number and complete their own telephone interview. They'll ask for their social security number when they call in, and then they'll proceed into the interview, and it'll complete that. They can call that, I think it's a really flexible hours, from like 8 in the morning till 9 at night. And what I would do, if you were the agent, if you agent on the phone today, get on SalesLink, check your new business. If you have any cases whatsoever that are waiting on a telephone interview, contact your client. Explain to them that this is a very normal procedure, but it's a very important procedure. Here's the telephone number. If you don't mind, it'll take you 10 minutes. Please call. Complete that right now. Get those done. Get those telephone interviews done. Your pay is being held until those telephone interviews are completed, and there are ways and avenues. F&G is making it as simple as possible on us as the agent, on the client, to get those telephone interviews completed by giving us that number. And that number, again, is 877-844-5041. So please be sure that you are calling your clients and having them complete those telephone interviews. That's a huge tip for those of you that have taken notes and paid attention. It'll get you paid much faster. Another kind of similar situation is EMSI. If you submit a Saver Select case, it's going to require medical underwriting. And sometimes that can take time to get completed. And the only reason it really takes time is because getting EMSI out to meet with your client sometimes takes longer than it should. And one tip that I have on that, again, is as the agent, you can be proactive, and you can talk with your client, and you can get a couple, you can get that appointment set for EMSI. One way I recommend doing that is, if you're in the home and you know you're writing a Saver Select, you know it's going to require medical underwriting, they know that, you know that, so while you're there, go ahead and schedule the time for the EMSI rep to come out, or the, you guys may not all use EMSI, what would be the word, like just a lab technician, or a, I don't know what you'd call the person that would come out to do the lab work. However, moving on.
Paramed,
there you go. The paramed would come out to take care of the lab work. What you can do while you're in the home is you can maybe schedule, I always say, find two possible appointment times, about 4 to 5 days out. So let's say today is Wednesday. You would go, well, are you available on Sunday afternoon, or are you available Monday evening? And let's say you get Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock and Monday evening at 7 o'clock. then when you submit that form, or you can call the ParaMed directly, whoever it is that you normally use, and say, I've set up two of these times, which one is better for you? They'll tell you which one is better. Then you can call back the client and say, or have EMSI call and confirm and say, or the ParaMed call and confirm and say, they'll be there at 4 o'clock on Sunday. So, see, when that gets done today, because you're there, you sold the app today, the lab work gets done on Sunday, that surely speeds up the process for you all in getting paid faster on the favor select cases. Now, if you don't want to take my advice and you don't want to do these little extra proactive things, then please be mindful of not complaining about your pay being held up. It's important that you do these proactive things because it's going to get you paid much faster. And these are things that we can do to affect the outcome of getting paid faster. So please take notes and make sure you do these things. A couple other small app filling out or communicating with F&G. When you're communicating with F&G, when you're faxing things in, be sure that you're always putting policy numbers on everything that you send. They receive and they work with thousands of agents. And it only confuses them if we're not specific about who we are and what policy number this particular amendment or information belongs to. The other thing is if you've got escalated issues or questions, concerns about your pending, our office is here to help, or your immediate manager's office is here to help. So please contact us directly or them directly, and they can help you escalate those issues and get things resolved. We do have contacts, higher-up contacts in commission and in new business and in contracting, and so we are here to resolve those issues. So please be sure you're using us as a resource before you get so frustrated that you're just wanting to throw everything out the window. Before you do that, please call us and let's help us resolve that. One other thing, as we're scrubbing apps here in the office, I asked Melissa. Melissa Bruno now does majority of the scrubbing here in the office, and I asked her just to pick out what she felt like were the top five issues on applications right currently. What was she seeing the most of right now? Because to be honest, oftentimes apps get held here because they're not filled out correctly. And I don't mean to be rude, but you might get made fun of if you're one of those agents that constantly has problems here in our office, because to us, it's just a very simple process. Fill out the application, answer the questions. There's a blank, fill it in. But we want to make sure that that's being done correctly for your benefit, because, again, if it's not done correctly, you're not going to get paid on the case. And why spend all the time going, making the phone calls, going out to the clients, working so hard to perfect your in-home phone script and make those sales and pick up those checks and being all excited about the production you're turning in and then not get paid on it? That just does not make sense to me, and it shouldn't make sense to you, and the back end should be as important as the front end. So these things are very important to pay attention to, and while we are here to help in that, that's why we will scrub your apps and call you if they're not filled out correctly, and oftentimes we're all human, we all make mistakes, and we're here to try to help catch those mistakes. But there are some things on the front end that we need you all doing correctly. And here are some things that she said. Number one, and I think this ties right in with everything we've been talking about this morning. And actually, I haven't even really made this point yet, and this is a very, very important point. When it comes to the accept-reject guidelines, because HomeCertain is now on accept-reject, they are not pulling an APS. They will possibly do telephone interviews. We talked about that. But they're not going to look at a doctor's record on HomeCertain. Now, with that being the case, if we do not give thorough information, they're going to just decline the case. When I was in doing my research yesterday, looking at the cases that have been declined and trying to pull up the applications, I saw a case where there was a client that had some issues with depression and anxiety and had been on several different medications. I did not see any sign of being hospitalized. I didn't see any sign of any suicidal attempts, anything like that. But I only saw these couple of medications, and just, one was for sleeping, one was for anxiety, and one was for depression, and that was all that was on the application. And it got declined. And I did that agent a favor and sent an email to the underwriter yesterday and said, hey, if we got some more thorough information, would you consider reopening this case? I'm still waiting on a response back to that, if that's a possibility. But I really believe that client got declined simply because we were not specific enough in the information that F&G needs. But F&G doesn't leave us out on a limb and just say, we'll be specific. They actually give us tools to help us do that. And the major tool they give us is the underwriting guideline book. If, again, just like the accept reject, if you do not have that book on your computer in the hard copy somewhere near you, if you do not use that regularly, then you must contact your manager today and get your hands on that. You need that underwriting guideline book in order to ensure that your cases that deserve to get issued and accepted, I'm home certain. And that was the number one thing she said was missing, was that people were not filling out those underwriting guideline books questions. And therefore, I'm sure it's one of the reasons that we're seeing some cases get declined, and it's all our fault for not being more specific. The underwriting guideline book, there's several ways of answering those questions. One, there's the actual book. Just carry it with you, fill out the questions when you're in the home on the additional information. Two, there's actually some Word documents that I went in years ago, typed out all of those questions, and they're just a simple little Word document. It doesn't require a signature. It doesn't require anything. It can be done from your home. You can call them and say, you know what, I needed just a little bit more information. Ask them a few questions and just attach it to the application and send it in. The underwriters will use that in their decision-making process. There is also forms that are provided by F&G that are essentially the same forms that I have, except their forms have the F&G logo on them. They ask all the questions, and they require a signature from the client. So just whatever makes you more comfortable, whatever you enjoy doing most, but please get those questions answered and attach that to your applications. All right, that was number one. Number two was she just said watch your abbreviations. A lot of people will abbreviate the cities or states they live in, or the states are fine, but the cities that they live in, thinking that it's plain English to everyone else because it's very comfortable for you because it's what you see. I'm going to use Todd Besner because I could pick on him now. As an example, years ago in the beginning when he's turning his app, he would put NRH Texas. Well, NRH stands for North Richland Hills. But NRH, I knew that, but I knew that the underwriters who live in Nebraska or wherever it is they live did not know what NRH Texas was. And so please be sure that with your cities that you're not, don't be so quick to fill in an application that you're leaving off important information like the city. And the same thing goes with your health challenges. Be careful too much about abbreviating and not being clear. You know, I mean, if you mark and just put HBP, sometimes it's not always as clear as you want it to be. HBP may stand for high blood pressure, but please be sure that you are being thorough. Again, think about it from the underwriter standpoint. All they're doing is getting an application, and they're trying to read your chicken scratch that is abbreviated and written in shorthand, and then we get mad at them for not issuing the policy. So that's where I'm just trying to kind of open your eyes, step in their shoes for a minute. Just think about when you're writing your apps, okay, I'm the underwriter, and I'm looking at this for the very first time. I haven't talked to the client. I don't want to talk to the client, and therefore, all I have is what's in front of me. And if they don't have enough information, I guarantee you they will decline it based upon not enough information. So be thorough, and not abbreviating is one way of doing that. The third thing she mentioned was beneficiary relationship. So when you're filling in who that money is going to go to at the bottom of page one, make sure you list out that relationship. It's, to be honest, on the application, it says that it lists it there. Please list the beneficiary and the relationship. It's not real big. It's not real bold. It's not highlighted, so I understand that's sort of hard to miss, especially the first few applications that you're writing. But be sure that if it's, you know, Mary Sue and then the beneficiary is Bobby Joe and that's the husband, write husband. If it's the children, if it's an aunt and uncle, cousins, nephews, whatever it is, be sure you write that relationship in. And then two things related to riders. If you're selling the critical illness rider, which I highly recommend selling, by the way, the critical illness rider is a great rider, and just make sure when you're filling it in on the application, it leaves you a blank to say, well, how much? You need to clarify what you want that critical illness to be, because there's options. When you sell critical illness, you can sell it all in an initial lump sum, or you can sell it as a monthly benefit over the course of 1 or possibly 2 years. I think most commonly done is the monthly benefit as 1 or 2 years, and that's because oftentimes we can partner critical illness with the disability and show the benefits that it has, where you get paid a monthly payment if you get one of these illnesses. Well, in that situation, just make sure that if it's $900 a month for 2 years, that you write $900 a month for 2 years. If you just put 900, it's a little unclear as to what you want. And so we need to make sure that that's clear. If it's an initial lump sum of 50,000, then write 50,000 lump sum. If it's $900 for 1 year, write $900 for 1 year. If it's $1,000 per month for 2 years, you get the picture. Write it in, okay, on that critical illness. And then the last thing that she mentioned is, and this is, again, I'll say that maybe it's a little bit more confusing on the application, but on page 2, when you're filling in the product and the information about the term, it says term period in that middle box, about the second line down, says term period. The next box over says guarantee period. Your term period is however long you are insuring that client. So if it's a 15-year term, 20-year term, 30-year term is probably the most common. So 30-year term or whatever that term period is will go in term period. Your guarantee period is however long that product is guaranteed, the rates are guaranteed, the premium is guaranteed to not increase. So now if you do not sell extended premium guarantee rider, you did not sell it, and you sold 30-year term on Home Certain, that's guaranteed for 15 years. So it would be 30 in the term period, 15-year in the guarantee period. There, if you need to better understand your guarantee period, look that up in your training manual. It's all there. The premium guarantee. So you did sell that. The rates are guaranteed for the full term. Then if it's a 30-year term, then it's guaranteed for 30 years. So make sure you're filling those two blocks in correctly. And if you do sell extended premium guarantee, one more last little tip, make sure at the bottom where you have the opportunity to fill in an other rider, circle an other and write extended premium guarantee. That is important and essential that you do that and mark it that, yes, I sold the guarantee period. As you can see, my term period and my guarantee periods match, and I have marked down at the bottom extended premium guarantee. So, with that, I believe those are my main points, and that's what I had to cover this morning. Fitz, did you have any questions or any more comments?
No, I have some questions coming across the email, and actually Bruno stuck his head in and offered a comment that we need to make sure we're saying. It all ties in with this first question. Where on the F&G site can we find the accept-reject guide? Great question. Let me throw this out. Since I got that email while Heather was talking, Heather, frankly, that's why when you said something at one point I was kind of stuttering. I was looking for this on SalesLink, and it took me all of about 60 seconds. But I pulled up sales materials on SalesLink, and under sales materials I chose life and chose the state of Texas because that happens to be where I live, and chose the product Home Certain Level, and then looked at all of the supplies that were in there. And what popped up was one that I saw was Home Certain Rate Guide. I clicked on it. It's a 39-page book that you can print off, or you can have them. You can order it, and they'll deliver it to you, so you don't waste your ink and paper. But in the back of the Rate Guide, Home Certain Rate Guide, the last 5 pages of the guide, it goes through the accept reject. It really does a very good job of going through what Heather just covered. In a lot of senses, not all senses, but in a lot of senses it covered what she just talked about. And then it gives a great list of impairment charts. For example, let's look at Crohn's disease. If someone has Crohn's disease and it's been greater than 2 years since the last symptoms, they will be standard but declined on the disability. So if you submitted somebody with Crohn's disease and they got declined on disability, now you know why. It's right there. But I also wanted to, so that's how you can find it. You can print that off. You know, of course, it opens up in Adobe Acrobat, so you can go file, print, and just print off the pages you want rather than printing off the whole book. Because it is a rate guide. It's how you can manually do these rates. That's one way. Another way, and Bruno was telling me this at the beginning of the call, he said that if you go through training and you're direct to the FITS group, and I think most of the managers are doing this, if not all of them, you'll get a CD-ROM of forms and software and all that sort of stuff. If you go through class and you've gotten that CD-ROM, the accept-reject guide is on that. Bruno has actually put together that CD so that it has that accept-reject form on there. It's at your disposal. It's, I believe, under the Home Certain folder inside of that CD-ROM. So be sure to look up on that. And he's actually got it on there as just the form. You don't have to have this whole rate guide. It's got just the list of medical problems. So that's one question. Another question I had is, if we switch a client from Home Certain to Saver Select due to Home Certain decline, how do the minimum face values affect it? Saver Select is a minimum face value of $150,000. What is the face under that amount? Well, when you are rewriting this case, number one, I say this a lot when I recruit folks, and I talk about it often. If Home Certain, and I just reiterate what Heather's saying, if Home Certain's taken longer than 10 days to get issued, it's because you, the agent, have done something wrong, and we've got to make sure that we're fixing that. If you're submitting a Home Certain that is being rejected, it's very, very likely that we could have avoided that if we had paid attention to the list of medical conditions that are accepted and rejected. So I want to make sure that's clear, but also, if you're rewriting it, if you rewrite it and put a Saver Select on there, the Saver Select parameters do apply. So up to age 60, I believe, on Saver Select, the minimum face is $150,000, and over age 60 is $100,000 in minimum face. And I, you know, if I'm wrong about that, I do apologize. I right off the top of my head, that's the numbers I think. But otherwise, you have to go with a product that would do that. And Term Trends, we said that word. Is Term Trends is an option that will work. Be sure that when you're speaking to the underwriting about rewriting this case, be sure that you're mentioning to them, oh, hey, you know what, this is a $60,000 case. I'm going to have to write Term Trends. Does this rate up that you're telling me still apply? So just, it doesn't hurt to clarify with underwriters before you push through and write something. Had a comment. You know what, thank you, Lisa Halomo, for making this comment to us to make sure we are clear with agents. Please verify that an original signature will be required from your client prior to resubmission as a Saver Select. We want to make sure of that and make sure everybody's clear on that. If you have had somebody declined and F&G said, well, we will rewrite them on Saver Select at 175 or 250%, Please understand, you do need to rewrite the application and get everything signed again. And that's a process that right now is in place. We are lobbying to have that changed and just issued with some amendments so that we can go back out there and deliver the policy with the amendment signatures. But right now, and until further notice, you do have to re-sign the application. You do have to get the client to re-sign the application and send that in through the normal channels. Comment about F&G does not do phone interviews on anything else in home except Home Certain. Okay. Let's see. I don't know what F&G homepage under hot items. Thank you, Eric, for sending that email. Eric Olson sent an email saying that on the sales link homepage under hot items, there is an accept reject guide. Hey, there it is. If I had opened my eyes, it would have taken me 30 seconds instead of 60 seconds to find what I found. Point being, it's very clear to find this accept-reject guide, poke around for a little bit, but it's right there on the home page of SalesLink. When you log in, there's a hot items list. It is right there. Fairly easy to find. And, hey, get familiar with this SalesLink website. It's a pretty decent website for agents, for agent use. But those are the questions I had. Heather, did you have anything to add?
No, I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly. I did want to make a closing comment, I guess, about conditionally issued business. It's just as important as getting things out of pending, because conditionally issued means that F&G has approved it and issued it. They're now just waiting on you. And so if you've got business sitting in conditionally issued that hasn't paid, shame on you for not paying more attention to that. And especially if it's been sitting there for a while. If it's brand new, I'll give you a break. But if it's been sitting there for a while and you're not taking care of it, then you're just allowing your money just to sit there. And please go get your money by getting those forms and the necessary amendments or extra money that needs to be picked up. And I just wanted to also remind everyone about last week that we just mentioned that it was very important that you're collecting checks up front. F&G has just not seen a very good issue rate on the draft on issue, correct, Vince? Is that what we're
That's right.
against? The draft on issue. And so just sort of refocus and just to be reminded when you're in a home, I would work on getting those checks and paper is what we used to always say. So make sure you're picking up that check when you're in the home because that will make it simpler and easier for you to get paid on that business.
I also, Heather, as you're talking about that, F&G, NAA blasted out an email yesterday from F&G about money orders and personal checks. They will no longer take personal checks over $50,000. I don't know that we had too many of those going in, but if you're writing like a huge master choice and somebody's putting $50,000 up front, that's the limit now they'll accept. There's money laundering issues going on and security, blah, blah, blah. But they also will not accept money orders over $50. And if you say, well, I can do three $50 money orders, nope, that doesn't work. There are a lot of reasons for that. The managers were kind of talking yesterday. One of the reasons F&G is probably pulling that is because agents have been known from time to time to submit a money order just so they can get paid the issue, the commissions on issue. And that's been a little gig that some agents have been playing, and I don't think they're with NAA or with us by any means, but some agents have played that game, and the gig is up. They're no longer going to allow that. And I had a couple of questions in the last day or so, people asking about, well, what about quarterly premiums that are going in, and we have to collect money orders for that, for the quarterly premium. Well, the guidelines say F&G is not accepting money orders over $50. I know I was talking with someone just recently that would know the issue rates and retention rates for quarterly with F&G specifically, because that's who we're talking about right now. I think it's very true for all insurance companies, but it stinks. And so they're actually losing money when we sell quarterly premium policies, because if you think about it, they are paying out all the commissions, they're paying out all the overhead, and that case stays on the books for 3 months and then it's gone, and they have lost money by doing that. So I wouldn't be too surprised to see a quarterly option being removed from as a choice. So please pay attention to those emails that are coming down. Guys, I just, Heather, do you have anything to add before I close up?
Actually, I do. I wanted to, this is actually heading back to the announcements. I just wanted to remind you guys that quarterly recognition will be happening on July 19th. The reason that's important is because the end of the quarter is really happening today, and so half of the year is gone. And you know, we had such a wonderful national convention in January, and we just came out with so much energy and so much momentum, and it did, I mean, it reaped back folds financially for people that went. And I just wanted to encourage you guys, it's half the year is here, half the year is gone, and you've got half of the year left. Make the most of it. Be mindful of your time. Time is a precious, precious thing. And that's what makes July 19th a special day. It's a quarterly meeting. It'll be a day event from probably 10 in the morning till about 3 in the afternoon. We'll have food. We'll have a little bit of fun. We'll have a little bit of training. If you've never met Andy, it'll be an excellent opportunity to meet one of the owners of NAA. So please mark your calendars, plan on being here. We love having people come in from out of town. And we try to make the most of it and make it a really special day. And it's a really great opportunity for us to give back to you, for us to recognize you and honor you all for your hard work. And we will definitely do that on that date. So I just wanted to re-mention that again, if that be the case. But I also just wanted to challenge you guys this last week of June just to make the best of it and to be conscious and to be conscious of your time and just to see it as a valuable asset.
All right. Well, that's perfect. My comments about pending business don't really apply now.
Oh, sorry.
No, that was a perfect way to wrap up the call, guys. She's absolutely right. Go knock it out. As far as working your pending, it takes maybe 30 minutes every morning to take care of. SalesLink is not a real-time website, so it really is just a good starting place for when you call up to F&G and talk to underwriting early in the morning. I recommend doing that before California wakes up. You need to get on the phone and work with underwriting about how to fix this, how to fix that, what's been done with this, what's been done with that. It takes you 30 minutes tops to prepare and call and get problems resolved. If you're on top of it, you will get paid, and pay is a good thing in this business. You don't get paid by writing business. You get paid by getting it issued. So congratulations, guys, on a great week, a great first half of the year, and we look forward to seeing you at the quarterly meeting. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.